Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm, Creamer Law Business Law, CreamerLaw.com, and Des Moines Computer Repair. You want your computer to work, and that's what they do. DesMoinesComputerRepair.com.
It is the Business News Hour for a Monday, the 7th day of November 2016. With us in studio is Sam Creamer. He's our legal expert from the Creamer Law Firm of West Des Moines. And when I saw this topic, I thought immediately, so is it different for business owners than it is for non-business owners? We're talking about estate planning tips. Welcome, Sam. Good to see you again, sir.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's great to be here.
The day before, have you voted, by the way?
I have not voted yet, but I'm very glad we're talking for a second about the election.
Yes.
Now, I know you don't do politics on,
I do not,
on the News Hour, but I'd like to remind all of our listeners that there are going to be two sides to the ballot. In his book, The Lexus and the Olive Tree, Thomas Friedman said that one of the most important things in a economic environment is that laws will be carried out consecutively and in the same manner every time. In my opinion, we are very fortunate to have a wonderful judiciary. However, there are others who disagree. But regardless of whether you agree or disagree, on the second side of the ballot, there's an opportunity to vote for retention or removal of our judges. And I urge all of our listeners, whether they vote to retain or they vote to not to retain,
to vote,
to make sure that they at least look at that side of the ballot.
And, you know, it's interesting. I went through that side of the ballot. I voted early. By absentee, and so many of those names I recognize, you know, through the years of, well, of not being in trouble with anybody, but at least being with the Business News Hour, and many times, some legal concerns do float across the desk.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm here today, Michael. I'm here to talk a little bit about how the law influences how people want to transfer assets. And the consistent application of the law is very important, but quite honestly, knowledge of the law is important, too. I'm not trying to suggest that our listeners should all become lawyers, because, frankly, there may be too many lawyers as it is. But I'm suggesting that it is important that they recognize some of the issues that confront them in making plans and decisions for their business.
Got it. All right. Let's roll down a list here and find out what the difference is between being a business owner and a non-business owner and what we have to be aware of.
Well, one of the most important things to be aware of is that a business is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
It's an asset just like it was a stock or a bond. It's an asset as if it were a piece of real estate. It is an asset. So assets transfer upon the passing of the individual. Now, there's really kind of two ways to pass. One is intentionally, one's unintentionally, which is sort of a proxy for how you might have wanted things to go versus an absolute declaration of how you want things to go.
And now, if you have a declaration, that means that you are directing traffic.
The real question that confronts people is, do they want to decide how things go, or do they want a statutory application to decide how things go? Business owners, as a rule, are very type A oriented and want to have control over how the assets go, and it's better for their family. Michael, most people, the two most important things that they own are their business and their love for their families. And if you don't properly plan for your business, you're not going to really fulfill what you want to have happen for your family.
Mm-hmm. And you can't very well do that unless you have a plan in place.
That's correct. Now, if you don't have a plan in place, the law does provide one for
correct.
You, and that's the intestacy statute. The intestacy statute basically allocates your assets in part on whether or not you're married at the time you pass. If you're married at the time you pass, and all of your children are also all of your spouse's children, then your spouse gets everything in the absence of a will. Now, let me go over that for just one more second. I am married to Lori,
mm-hmm.
and all of Lori's children are also my children.
Correct.
So the intestacy statute would provide that everything would go to Lori. Now, we live in an age of blended families, and it is increasingly
so.
Common for the children of a surviving spouse to partially not be children of the deceased. Let me give you another example of that. The law provides that if the deceased has children, but the children aren't also the children of the surviving spouse, then the surviving spouse gets half, and the children of the deceased get half.
Got it.
What that basically would provide is if I'm married to Lori, and I have children with Lori, Lori gets half, and my children from a prior relationship would also get half.
Mm. All right. All right. That's intestacy. That is if there is not a will in place.
If there's no plan, so, that's the plan.
I guess the idea would be if I'm a business owner and I like to be in control of what's going on and I am in one of those relationships where it could be a bit confusing as to who gets what and when, maybe it would be best for me to have some type of an estate plan.
There are basically two types of estate plans that business owners often have. One is just a simple will. And a will basically provides a direction on how assets are to be distributed when you pass.
Right.
An alternative to a will is a revocable trust. Now, a revocable trust is a legal fiction. And what it basically is allowed is that you can pretend that you gave your assets away to yourself as trustee. And the trust controls the disposition of the assets rather than the will. For today's purposes, we'll call a will and a revocable trust basically the same because they're both dispositive documents.
Got it. If you just rely – can we back up just a minute? If we just rely on the statute, there are some additional issues, aren't there?
Well, the primary issue is who's going to be in control.
Right.
And if you rely on the statute, then the judge arbitrarily decides who's going to be the administrator of the estate. And that's basically anyone who is qualified to act. If you have a will or a revocable trust, you appoint the executor.
Right.
You appoint the trustee, unless for some particular reason they're not appropriate.
And when you do that, can those things be changed? At any time, Sam? I mean, let's say that you've created this will or a revocable trust, and that is in place. But then some things happen or some things change in the business or in your family life. Can all those things be adjusted?
These documents are what we call ambulatory. They walk with you. They can be changed at any time and from time to time. So to the extent there are changes that are necessary, they can be made quickly, they can be made correctly, and they can be made oftentimes relatively inexpensively.
Now, sometimes when those things happen, when there is a change in the will, does that sometimes open it up for being challenged by those who may not be part of the...
It can open things up to a challenge. Challenges mostly happen when there is an abrupt change to the will that is particularly beneficial for one or more beneficiaries. There are two bases on which to challenge a will, and that's undue influence and lack of capacity. Those two are very closely related, and we could do an entire program just on the
just
on
those
contests.
I'm sure. Well, who serves? Let's say that the deceased has a business, and everything is in the will, and it's proper. Who makes? What is it? Where does the executor stand in all this? And who is that person?
The executor is someone you appoint to stand in your shoes, and they take control of the assets of the estate. Now, in the case of a corporation, that means that during the course of administration of the estate, the executor is going to vote the shares of the corporation. In a limited liability company, if there are multiple owners, then the share of the estate becomes a transferable interest and it does not vote. However, if it's a single owner LLC, then the executor again would make decisions for the business during the administration of the estate.
So, making this will or having this trust does allow that business owner plenty of time before something despicable may happen to that person, the opportunity to put their life in order as it relates to the business and their employees.
It does. And quite frankly, the executor should be somebody who is financially savvy. Most of the time, people want their spouse to be the executor. Now, sometimes that can be fine, and oftentimes the spouse is very involved in
but
the
But what
business.
If the spouse is not involved in the business?
Then sometimes you can point a executor to handle a specific asset, or you can set something out in the trust that provides for different administration of that business asset.
So a different executor? Or a different person in charge of that, the business side.
A different person in charge of making those business decisions.
I had no idea that you could do that amongst the two entities.
These things have great flexibility, which is one of the reasons why we recommend that our clients consider them rather than simple reliance on the statute.
Yeah, well, for obvious reasons. I think you made it so very clear right out of the gun, and you said, you know, so many business owners – yourself, myself, you know, we kind of like to be in control of what's going to happen in the future, not only just today, but in the future. And if we're not prepared, then it can get messy.
Well, it's not only that, Michael. You've got to also look at who the beneficiaries are ultimately going to be. For instance, if I have a child that is in the business with me, it may be that that child would be the better recipient of the business and would be more capable of running the business than my spouse. In the absence of a will, the spouse may get half or the spouse may get all of the estate, which may or may not result in bad business decisions down the line. Now, one of the things that you can do with a will or a trust, which we would recommend, is create some kind of way to allocate the value of the business rather than the business itself.
That was my next question. So if you have, let's say, three children and one wants to be in the business, what do you do about the other two to compensate them?
There are basically two options. One option, if your estate is large enough, you can create a division whereby child A gets the business, children B and C get some other asset, whether that's a stock portfolio or life insurance proceeds or some other asset that's approximately of equal value.
Now, all of this would also apply, wouldn't it, to farmers?
This applies to any business, and for these purposes, a farm is a business.
Absolutely.
Now, a second option would be to create a situation where child A buys the business from the estate. And, of course, child A has a third of the estate and basically is buying the two-thirds that his sibling owns from the estate, thereby creating a transfer of the value of the business rather than the business itself. That can be extremely beneficial for a family because in the absence of these types of things, this business might be very illiquid and a child might feel, well, you know, I got slighted. Johnny got more. The second thing that is important on this is that the child who is not involved in the business instantaneously becomes an expert on the business.
I'm sure. Huh?
And makes the child who is going to really be charged with the business decisions absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So it's better to be able to have the flexibility to put all the assets where they need to go. And one of the ways to do that is through a buy-sell agreement that is actually an option buried in a will or a revocable trust.
And that is part of the will?
That would be part of the will or revocable trust that would provide an option for one of the beneficiaries
to buy out,
to purchase the business.
You know, and I guess it's complicated enough when it's an individual who doesn't own a business. But when you start layering all of these different items, you know, from the value of the business, what's it worth, how many people are involved in the business, what happens to the employees, how big is that asset, it can get pretty complicated.
Life is complicated.
It is.
And genius is not making simple things complicated. Genius is making complicated things simple.
Ah.
And we recognize that Ben Franklin was really correct when he said, you know, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. And as this conversation clearly indicates, estate planning for business owners is complicated. And we would urge you, whether you utilize the Creamer Law Firm or utilize other resources, we would urge you to go get qualified counsel to assist you with these things. Although LegalZoom and these lawyer-in-a-box things are fine for some purposes and for some people, we would not recommend it when you're trying to transfer your most important asset to your most important beneficiaries.
Got it. Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, talking about business, business law, and what to do if you have a business and no will, or should you get a will or a trust? Interesting stuff. All of this will be, by the way, in the podcast. If you missed any or all of this, it's also, by the way, it will be up on Sam Creamer's website very shortly. You can look at all the documents right there. Thank you, Sam. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Sam Creamer, ladies and gentlemen, on the Business News Hour. We've got to go. Tyler says it is nigh on time. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.